For those of you who have been here the last couple of Sundays, we've been talking about Ruth and Naomi. And for those of you who were with us at that prophetic gathering with Apostle Chuck Pierce, found out that he was talking about Ruth and Naomi as well. Maybe he listened to our podcast. Look at the person next to you and tell them, I'm coming out of bitterness. And I'm coming into glory. How many of you know you need joy to do that? You need joy to come out of bitterness and into glory. I mean, Proverbs 13, it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. I think that's Proverbs 13 and 7, 13 and 6, somewhere in there. It's about halfway in the chapter, Proverbs 13. And I would like to propose to you that sickness of hope deferred is bitterness. And that the tree of life is actually joy. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. So we're gonna dive into this today, because we're coming out of bitterness and we're going into joy. And I've been finding out that I've got some bitterness towards some things that I just can't take into my future. So just to let you know, you're not alone. So it's the Michael Jackson song, "You Are Not Alone." I am here with you. We're walking through this thing together, okay? But we're coming out of bitterness and we're going into joy. I'm glad y'all can smile in church. That's good. That's good. That's good. And Jesus gave us a model that teaches us how our joy becomes full. Doesn't the psalmist, it says in Psalms that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures evermore. And so there's a manifestation of joy that takes us into fullness in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." This is John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15, starting in verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." How does the Father get glory? Jesus said He gets glory when you ask Him for something and He gives it to you. Answered prayer. The Father is glorified through answered prayer. It's this blank check promise that He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask the Father anything and He'll give it to you. And that's how He gets glory. Flip over to chapter 16. Let's start in verse 22. Actually, let's go to 21. "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." and you now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day, in what day? The day they see him. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ask, and you shall receive, so that your joy is full. What's our pathway to joy? Ask, and you shall receive, so that your joy is full. What's our pathway to joy? Abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you want, and the Father will give it to you, so that he gets the glory. What's our pathway to joy? Ask, and you shall receive, so that your joy may be full. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's what? A tree of life. Abide in me, my words in you. You'll ask the Father what you will, and he'll give it to you, so that you bear fruit, so that he's glorified. So what's the fruit he's talking about there? Is he talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Probably, sometimes. Is he talking about the fruit of miracles? Yeah, probably. He's really talking about the fruit of answered prayer. I mean, do y'all realize that Jesus gave us a promise of answered prayer? Why is it that we become so easy to turn away from something we've been asking God for when it doesn't happen the first time you ask? Why is it that we lose our ability to believe for something the first time it fails? Is it because God's not doing any miracles anymore? I mean, if we try to interpret the Bible through our human experience, we're going to fall short of the glory of the Lord, because we're going to have situations we can't explain. We're going to come into situations that we don't have an answer for. Well, why are you going through this? I don't know. Well, you must be in sin. Well, no, I'm not. Stop saying that over me. Well, you must have made bad choices. Well, maybe I did, but that doesn't... He's the one who sets free the captive. He opens the prison to those who are bound, and he sets them free. So that's two people. That's the people that have made bad choices, and they're in prison because they've made a bad choice. And the captive is the one who's in captivity, but they didn't do anything wrong. They just find themselves in captivity. And so if the declaration of the gospel is that I get liberty either way, it doesn't matter how I got to the situation I'm in. What matters is the Lord's going to get me out. The psychology world tries to get us to do this introspective thing, you know. Let's find the root of the problem, and you know, and I think there's value in that. I think there's truth in that. But we need to take that journey with the Holy Spirit in faith. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come with us, because in his presence is fullness of joy. And the pathway to joy is answered prayer. And so as I'm trying to figure out why I'm in a situation that's not working, I need to go with the Holy Spirit on that journey. We could even go to where Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and it will be uprooted and planted into the sea. And we can use that statement metaphorically, but I really think he was saying literally, Literally, you can speak to that natural mountain that's standing there, and you can tell it to be uprooted, and it will come up off the ground, and you can tell it to go in the sea, and it will go in the sea. Sometimes we interpret things metaphorically, and we miss the fact that it has a practical application for our lives. Jesus was so awesome to use those natural things, you know, and the kingdom of God is not a metaphor. Jesus is not a metaphor as to how we can shape our lives. I mean, if you live your life that way and you just try to do things the way Jesus did it metaphorically and you take it metaphorically as a metaphor, you're probably going to do okay, but you're not actually going to be able to be transformed into the image of who He is. Because when you see Him, you become like Him. That's what John said later on. When you see the Lord, you become like the Lord. Paul said that to the church in Corinth. You see in a glass, in a mirror, and then you're transformed into the image you see. That happens in the presence of the Lord. He brings transformation to your heart in His presence. He leads you into joy in His presence. Some of us carry around this thought that God is a punisher trying to punish me for all the things I do wrong, and I'm walking through a hard time because God's punishing me. And whether we voice that or whether we internalize that, and it's something that's down in our subconscious that we're not even aware of, that it's happening, it becomes that place of bitterness. It becomes that garden where bitterness can grow. If we think that we're being punished by God for going through something difficult. The nature of God, it's one of our four core values here at Freedom House. He's only good. He's only good. Jesus is moved by the feelings of our infirmities. And we can come boldly to the throne and get beat on the head. No, that's not what it says. Get a spanking. Get put in time out, you know. That's not what it says. We can come to the throne and He makes us sick so we can, you know. We come to the throne and He makes us experience loss. We can come to the throne and He makes us, you know, go through pain and suffering. That is a lie from hell. We go to the throne boldly, and what do we receive? Mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Stretches out His hand and He shows mercy. He gives us grace, His enabling power. He allows us to become who He created us to be, even though we don't have the ability to be that within our own strength. It's enabling power. Unmerited favor. It's both. All in one. What's the pathway to joy? Answer prayer. What's the reality of our lives living in Jesus, abiding in Him, and Him, His Word abiding in us? Answer prayer. What do we do when we come up against something that we don't know how to deal with? Well, Jesus said this kind comes out by prayer and fasting to the disciples who were out doing miracles already. They were already healing the sick. They were already casting out devils. They were already moving in a kingdom expression of answered prayer. But they came across something they couldn't deal with. And the Father had to bring the Son to Jesus so that Jesus could cast the devil out of the child. And Jesus said, you need more faith. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. But in the midst of prayer and fasting, there has to be a tenacity, and there has to be this hope that says, I'm going to keep pressing until I see a manifestation of what the Lord has promised. And if he gives you a seed, you've been praying for an oak tree and he gives you an acorn, rejoice. That's the sign that says in the acorn is the oak tree. And that's the answer to your prayer already. And then the presence of the Lord comes in. And his presence starts to overshadow and starts to hover. Did y'all realize that that description in the book of Genesis relates to the way that a husband hovers over his wife at the point of consummation? When the two are becoming one, hovering. What happens in that process? Joy. Exuberant joy. And then reproduction. I mean, there's fruit that comes out of that. And the Lord gives you a seed, and then he hovers. And he watches over it. And he keeps creating an atmosphere that's conducive for growth. And if we allow that presence and that atmosphere to transform us as individuals, then we become the oak tree that started as the acorn. But he does it through his goodness. Seeing how we've been talking about Ruth and Naomi. Naomi got restored when Ruth met Boaz and came home with increase, came home with handfuls on purpose. She started to be joyful because here she comes. She's got all this wheat. She comes into Naomi's house. Naomi's depressed. She's lost everything. She's in a bad spot. She's filled with bitterness. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitterness. But she begins to come back into her actual destiny when Ruth walks in the house with provision from the field. And she's like, girl, where you been? I've been out gleaning. Well, whose field you been gleaning in? I want to go glean in that field. You know, it's like that scenario when somebody, for you ladies, somebody comes in with a really pretty outfit on. You're like, wait, hey, where you been shopping? Where'd you get that dress? Where'd you get that purse? Where'd you get that hat? Where'd you get those shoes? Well, I want to go where you're going. Why? There's glory being displayed. And because there's glory being displayed, it stirs up hope in the individual that doesn't have. Unless you're bitter, then it stirs up jealousy. If you're bitter, it stirs up jealousy. But if you're actually not bitter and you're whole and you're expecting and you are pressing in by faith, you see that and you're like, hallelujah. What you been doing? I want to do what you know. It starts to provoke a deeper level of hope and a deeper level of faith. So Ruth comes in with the wheat. She's like, what field have you been in? Well, there's this guy named Boaz. And to put it in our vernacular or our terminology today, you'd be like, man, I couldn't make that story up even if I wanted to. You mean you've been in Boaz's field? He's the kinsman redeemer. He's the one who can actually take you as a wife and restore everything that was lost over these years. How did you come across that? How did you end up in the field? Well, I was just walking along and I just saw some wheat there and I just walked over and asked if I, you know, and they start telling the story. And it's when she comes in with provision What is that? It's answer prayer. She comes in with the answer. And when the answer comes, it starts to stir up hope in Naomi again. It starts to stir it up. And then she finds out it's Boaz's field. So she gets really excited. Now she actually sees the pathway of restoration. Some of us can't get out of bitterness because we don't see the pathway of restoration. We can't get out because we can't see. Say, touch my eyes so I can see. Some of us need to just see the pathway that leads to the answer. Y'all have heard me testify, heard us testify often about how during that downturn in the oil field, I mean, we were just having a hard time. But we'd get a check in the mail for $17 from an insurance company. You know. How many of you know $17 won't do much for us these days? It wasn't enough for what we needed, but it was a sign of the road that we're on. So we'd get the $17 check and we'd all grab hands in the kitchen and we'd jump up and down rejoicing because we got the seed. It wasn't what we needed, but it was the seed. It wasn't the total amount. It wasn't the answer, but it was the pathway. And if we're bitter, that ain't enough. What am I going to do with that? When we're bitter, we don't rejoice because we don't see it as answered prayer. We try to put how we see the world and project it upon God and say, God, you've got to do it on my terms. And he says, well, good luck with that. When you get over yourself and you come back to me with humility and decide you're going to do it my way, that, you know, then we're ready to talk again. But until that happens, good luck with that. The good news is he follows you. I mean, he just keeps following you. And he just keeps looking for an opportunity to show up and show you goodness again. Because in the book of Romans, it says that his goodness leads us to repentance. So we're walking in disobedience. We're walking in you know, bitterness. We're walking in all the things that are producing negative fruit, bad fruit. You know, we're not living right. And here's the Lord following us around, giving us opportunities so to see his goodness so that maybe we would turn from our wicked ways and come back to him. Just maybe. Because he's good. And his goodness leads us to repentance. It leads us to changing the way we think. We ask for $1 million and he gives us 10, and we have an opportunity right there to rejoice. Because that's answered prayer. If we battle sickness and healing doesn't happen instantaneously, and instead of keeping on praying until we see something change, we stop. Or it's like your pain goes down. Maybe it was at a high level and we pray and the pain goes to 50%. Now you're not having as much pain as you were having. That's answered prayer. Why wasn't it healed 100%? I don't know. What I do know is that this kind must need to do some fasting and prayer to get this thing out of here. Because that's what Jesus said. But the small increment that comes, it's a sign of the answer. It's the tree of life. It's the joy. It's the thing that should be causing us to rejoice. How many of you know when Jesus shows up, things happen? How many of you know that he said, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst? Well, I don't feel him. Well, I'm sorry that you don't feel him, but he's in our midst. Well, I can't hear his voice. Well, let's work on that. But he's in our midst. He's here. We've asked. He's come. He's already here. I don't know if I believe that. Well, maybe you need to pray, Lord, help my unbelief. Like the father who had a child that was not doing too well. Lord, help my unbelief. How did the Lord help his unbelief? What did he do? He healed the child. Right? I mean, to me, this is so simple and it's so elementary. I'm just like, it's really that easy. It's really that simple. It's not tough. It's not difficult. How does Jesus deal with your unbelief? Through answered prayer. When Jesus shows up, things happen. When we see the smallest breakthrough of the answer, it's time to rejoice as if the answer has already come. When we're praying and pressing and we're not seeing anything manifest in the natural, it's time to rejoice as if it's already come. Because whether we see the natural manifestation or not, the Lord has come. And what did he say? He said, right now y'all have sorrow. You know, he's going through the process of telling them, he's giving them instruction because he's getting ready to go to the cross and be put in the tomb for 3 days. And he's saying, y'all have sorrow right now, but just hang on. 3 days later, I'm coming out of that grave. And when I come, I've got the keys from hell. I've got everything you need. I've got the Holy Spirit that I'm going to give you. I've come up out of that tomb. I've overcame hell and the grave. And I've won every victory you're ever going to fight. So just hang on because I'm coming. And when he shows up, they rejoice. So what's our pathway to joy? Answer prayer. Which prayer should we really be focused on to be answered? I would like to suggest to you that you really should be focused on the presence of the Lord coming into your midst while you're praying. That's the answer that you actually need. Because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, pleasures evermore, right? In the presence of the Lord, fullness of joy. What would life be like if we just decided to get so passionate about the presence of God and just celebrate wildly every time that we begin to feel his presence? I mean, Jesus got the Holy Spirit without measure. Our problem is we didn't get it that way. I mean, it's poured out that way, but our problem is we have to give ourselves over to God's presence daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes every second. We've got to keep pressing into God's presence so that we gain more of the Holy Spirit. You remember what Jesus said about his words, that his words, it's the word of the kingdom. The sower went out in the field to sow, and the word was the seed, right? Jesus says, if my word abides in you, you abide in me, and my words abide in you, the seeds that he's sowing into your heart, if they're producing fruit, if they're not being choked out by the cares of the world, if they're not falling to the wayside, if they're not being stolen by the fowl of the air, if we're not agreeing with the voice of the devil, the voice of the accuser, but we're agreeing with what the voice of the Lord is saying, then eventually it's going to get down into our heart and it's going to produce fruit. And what's that fruit? Answered prayer. It's a manifestation of his word. that he's declared. He sent his word and it healed them. What's our pathway to joy? Answer prayer. God in me, my words in you. You'll ask what you will, and it'll be given to you. How many of you know we don't have to qualify that statement? Jesus didn't qualify it. And I know it sounds good and it sounds biblical to say, well, you've got to have the right desires. And you know, I've said that myself. But Jesus didn't say you have to have the right desires. And I think he said that because it goes without saying to say that when you're in his presence and you're abiding in his words, your desires are going to be right anyway. So why worry about what your heart's like until the Holy Spirit talks to you about it? I mean, the Holy Spirit's a lot better at convicting you of what you're doing wrong than anybody else, by the way. So we don't have to live in self-condemnation thinking that you know, we can figure out what we're doing wrong, or we don't even have to live under the condemnation of others who are telling us what we're doing wrong, unless it's bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. That's his job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to lead you and guide you. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He's your conscience. He's the one who shows up and says, yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't think I'd agree with that. Yeah, you may want to just go ahead and move on here, you know. He's the one who does that. How many of you know that's awesome when the Holy Spirit shows up? And I mean, the rebuke of the Lord is awesome to me. It's wonderful. It's amazing. The other day I was in the shower having an encounter with God, and he was rebuking me for some bad choices that I had made. But I didn't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you need to repent of those bad choices, and then what you're saying, because I was doing some commanding and I was praying and I was, you know, doing the thing we do as Christians. You bind and loose and command and take it by force kind of thing. And the Lord's like, you need to repent of some bad choices, then your surroundings will actually listen to what you're saying. So I had to repent. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. And it was such a joyful experience. It was so awesome to me, you know. Some of us live in this reality of when the Lord rebukes us, it's just like this destroying thing. And you know, no, it's joyful. Because now your prayers are actually getting ready to be answered because you're in right standing with the Lord. And His glory is going to come. What He said about you is actually going to start working. What do I do if I don't see the answer right away? Keep praying. Maybe fast a little bit. Maybe ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? It's one of my favorite answers in counseling sessions, you know. I'm like, people will ask me, what do you think I need to do about this? I'll be like, what's the Holy Spirit saying? I don't know. Well, I if you don't know what the Holy Spirit's telling you, I certainly can't tell you. I can give you some advice, and I can give you wise counsel based on my life experience and based on wisdom that I know has worked in my life. But I'm an individual, you're an individual, and what I'm doing may not work for you. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit. I'll send you a counselor, right? Who will do what? leads you and guides you in all truth. I'll send you a comforter. Why do I need comfort? Because we're going to suffer pain. So we need comfort in the season of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, so that we're not afraid of evil. So we're not afraid of what we're facing, but we realize that He's already won every victory for me. So if I'm in a battle, I'm already victorious. That's my reality. I'm already victorious. All I need to do is sit down at the table and enjoy the presence of the Lord in the midst of my enemies, and allow the song of deliverance to rise up out of my spirit and begin to change the atmosphere around me, to invite, to attract the presence of the Lord. He inhabits the praises of His people. All I need to do is have Him come, because if He shows up, the devil has to leave. I mean, he has to leave. There's no resistance. It's not a battle of Jesus against the devil. It's not this arch enemy thing that, you know, it's not this epic struggle of good and evil. It's Jesus crushed the head of the serpent, and He's not moving anymore. You know, so when you crush it, when you step on the head of a snake, it wiggles around for a minute, and then it just stops moving. I mean, that... it's not moving. It's not wiggling. It's over. It's done. Jesus already won. His blood already paid the price. By His stripes we're already healed. He gave us a pathway to prosperity in our emotion and in our natural world. He already did it. It's already done. So why are we striving? Because we don't know our pathway to joy. Why are we struggling? Because we're not allowing the presence of the Lord to abide in us in a way that takes us into the place of answered prayer. As you can be in the place of struggle and have great joy. Paul said, I've had a lot and I've had nothing. None of it moves me. I've been prideful. I've been knocked off a donkey and blind for a while. And I've figured out that you know, this Jesus is the right answer. And if I can just stay with Him, I'm going to be okay. Y'all realize, if we don't find our identity in joy, what we end up doing is finding our identity in sacrifice of religion. What do you mean? You remember the testimony that Minister Mike has shared about the guy in the wheelchair? And they're like, no, we don't want him to come out of the wheelchair. That's our testimony. He's happy while he's suffering in a wheelchair. And I'm like, how much happier would he be if he didn't have the wheelchair? But because there's hope deferred that has entered into that situation, they've chosen to find their identity in the sacrifice of just accepting the wheelchair and that lifestyle and just choosing to exalt it. There's individuals who find their identity in the clothes they wear. They find their identity in the doctrine they believe. They find their identity in all of that. And a lot of it is biblical. We can find verses and scriptures that back it all up. But oftentimes the reason why we have to find our identity in something that's sacrificial is because we've not learned to find our identity in joy. Because we've been praying for things and we've actually got hope deferred and we've allowed our heart to be sick. And instead of allowing the presence of the Lord to change our heart and bring hope again, we go ahead and say, well, I'm just going to accept this lifestyle, but I'm going to be happy anyway. And you can do that. I mean, you can train yourself to learn the discipline of being happy in the midst of suffering. But it's not the same as living in exuberant joy while you're in the hallway. Rather than accept the lower reality of less of what God has for you, rather than accepting that reality, we can actually have exuberant joy that takes us in to the place of fullness of joy. Answer prayer. It's our pathway. Do y'all realize as Christians, we have to try really hard to be depressed? I mean, you got to try. Because it's not in your DNA anymore. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So it's pretty hard to be depressed when the hope of glory is on the inside of you. Garment of praise, spirit of heaviness, oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, you know. But instead of finding our identity in the breakthrough of the Lord, realizing that you're actually the breakthrough. You're a new creation. I mean, you're not your mama, you're not your daddy, you're not your cousin, you're not the people you grew up around, you're not the environment you were nurtured in. You're a new creation. You're now created in the image of Jesus. We're already in the image of Father God. Humanity was created in the image of God. But at salvation, now you're created in the image of Jesus, walking the earth, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's your reality. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, I'm coming out of bitterness. And I'm entering into joy. So let me give you some instructions. I want you to think of something that God can do for you, answered prayer, that would help you overcome the hope deferred that's standing in the way of the answer that you've been pressing into for so long. It can even be unrelated. It's almost like the fleece kind of thing, you know. It's not really asking God for a sign, but you're asking Him for something, and then He's going to answer you, and that becomes the fuel you need to keep moving beyond that bitterness. Some of us have carried around for so long, it's probably going to take a little while. It really depends on your willingness to leave it behind and your willingness to allow the song of deliverance to be the thing that gives you the cadence for your life, the steps you're walking into your future with. Because if you allow the song of deliverance the Lord has put on your heart to dictate how you're actually going to feel, because joy has feeling too. You feel happy when you're filled with joy, you know. If you allow that song of deliverance to be the thing that's going to shape your future, you won't stay there as long as you will if you don't. You're coming out either way. I mean, you're going. I'm just saying. You're going to go hard or you're going to go easy. It's up to you. You can go the short path or the long path. You can go in 15 days or you can go in 40 years. It doesn't matter. You're going to the promise. If I were you, I would choose 15 days. I'm just saying. Amen. So, stand with me, please. I've been finding out about the bitterness that's in my heart, and I've just decided I'm not going to move on with it. And every time I start feeling it rise up, now I know why the Lord put that song Surrounded on my heart. He gave that song to me before I started realizing I had bitterness. Now I know why I have that song. It's my song of deliverance. Every time the bitterness tries to rise up, this is how I find my battles. And as I sing that song, the presence of the Lord is, it just comes over me. And then the bitterness just goes away. So, I want you to find something tangible. You know, some people, well, what do you want God to do? Well, world peace. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just, come on, be real. Tangible. What do you want God to do? What do you want me to do? I mean, Joshua stopped the sun. And maybe he'll do that for you. I don't know. I've prayed and stopped the rain. I've seen that happen. I've prayed and saw people's legs grow. I've had Abby praying. We were playing a game at home, and we were playing Kingdom Ranger, and we were playing this game. Because, you know, when I play with my girls, it's going to be Kingdom something. But, and I said, okay, here we're going to, we were teaching, we were going to get our healing patch. And so in order to get the healing patch, we were going to deal with some stuff. And so I just sat down on the floor and I said, look, one of my legs is a little bit shorter than the other, Abby. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to pray. And she started praying, and guess what happened? My leg grew. And she said, was that real? I said, yeah, baby, that was real. She goes, and I'd been having a little back pain in my lower back for a while. And, you know, I think your muscles kind of get out of tension and all that stuff. And, you know, and so she prayed and I didn't have back pain and my leg was the same length as the other one. What do you need God to do? What do you want? What do you want Him to do? Something tangible. Something visible. Something physical. What do you want Him to do? And I want you to take that and allow that to be the fuel that takes you into the place of the answer that's actually on the heart. That's in your heart. That thing that's been producing hope deferred. The thing you've been hoping for, or at one point you had so much hope for it, you were excited, and then so much time has gone past that you don't even have hope for it anymore. What do you want Him to do? Our pathway to joy is answered prayer. And so the Lord's going to show up with His goodness, and He's going to answer what you're asking Him to do. And when He gives you that answer, rejoice. And allow it to be the evidence of the unseen. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. Let that be the evidence that you use against the accuser that says that's never going to happen. And you can say, uh-uh. See, look at this. Here's my evidence right here. Amen? Just raise your hands. Holy Spirit, we thank You today that You're giving us a pathway to joy. Holy Spirit, help us to encounter You in ways that we're not expecting. Help us to encounter You in ways that we are expecting. Jesus, I just thank You already for answered prayer. Father, I thank You already for answering the prayers. I thank You already for showing up with restoration, with provision, with the answer that's going to cause us to come out of bitterness and come into the place of joy. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I'm seeing this field with horses that are running and charging and frolicking and playing and just displaying their strength and their life and their excitement of being alive. Is anybody in here, does that mean anything to anybody? First of all, anybody in here had horses at one time and then they were lost, and that's a place of restoration for anybody? I like to check just because it might be for an individual. I feel like that word's for all of us. That the Lord is going to restore the identity that we're not sheep, but we're horses fit for the battle. And the way that we are shaped for the battle is through the exuberance of life, charging through the field, allowing the life of God to generate joy and happiness, prosperity. While we're at it, anybody got pain in their body? Mr. Slack, you got back pain? Just stretch forth your hands. Father, we just thank you for healing right now. We command the pain to go in Jesus' name. All the tension has got to go in the name of Jesus. All the weightiness has got to go. How's it feeling now? Relaxing? Yeah. Go like this. Just put your hands up and just take the load off. Just take the load off and set it down. How's it feeling now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else have a prayer need that we need to pray over this morning before we go? Can have, come on up. Come up for prayer. We can have Miss Evelyn and Pastor Mike. Yeah, Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Those of you who are out there, I just want you to rejoice in the Lord. Just rejoice in His goodness. Rejoice in His answers. Rejoice that He showed up, that He's here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your outstretched hand of deliverance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just raise your hands. The Lord will bless you and keep you. His face will shine upon you. He will give you peace. He is taking you into the place of glory. He is coming to give you the pathway to joy. In the name of Jesus, give Him some glory.